In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Christ is among us. President Franklin Delano Roosevelt's closest advisor throughout most of his presidency was a man named Harry Hopkins. You've probably never heard of him. During World War II, Hopkins' influence with Roosevelt was at its peak. You've never heard of Hopkins because he held no elected position and he was not even on the cabinet. And this Hopkins, known about in D.C. as Roosevelt's closest confidant, of course, was the butt of a lot of rumors and gossip. They figured that he was a sinister man. He was a shadowy figure. So over time, for Roosevelt, Hopkins, in a way, became a liability. In fact, one political foe of Roosevelt challenged the president, asked him the question, why do you keep Hopkins so close to you? You surely realize that people distrust him and, in fact, resent his influence. Roosevelt responded, quote, someday you may well be sitting where I am now as President of the United States of America. And when you are, you'll be looking at that Oval Office door right over there. And knowing this, that just about everybody that walks through that Oval Office door wants something. Then you'll come to realize how lonely this job really is. And then you'll finally realize that you'll need somebody just like Harry Hopkins. He asks for nothing but to be here for me, to support me. End of quote. Some years later, the Prime Minister Winston Churchill would rate Hopkins as one of the 6 most powerful men in the world in the 1940s. What was Harry Hopkins' real power? His willingness to serve selflessly, sacrificially. He wasn't in it for himself. He wasn't seeking anything for himself. Harry Hopkins is actually a great example of stewardship. Harry has certain gifts, and he offered them selflessly, in a way sacrificially, to his president and to his country. You and I, too, have been blessed. Blessed with the gifts of time and talent. How do you return those gifts back to God and his church selflessly? As announced last Sunday, and perhaps you saw in the letter that was mailed out to each home this past week, our verse for this year as we do our renewal time and talent, our renewal stewardship, are those words from the psalmist. What shall I give to the Lord? for all his benefits toward me. What shall I give to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? Some are given the gift of management. Others are given the gift of hands that can produce and build things. Some are given the gift of hospitality. Others are given the gift of being good cooks. Some are given the gift of coordinating. Others are given the gift of being good teachers. And the list can go on. Every single human being has gifts that God has given to them. But he gives them for a reason, that you may return that gift to him and to his church, and to give them selflessly. For as St. Paul reminds us, I have been given freely. I'm expected to give back freely. The highest and most noble work that any human being can do is called liturgy. Liturgia, as it's said in the Greek. What happens, in other words, every Friday evening with Vespers and every Sunday with the Eucharist. Liturgy. In fact, a parish, an outreach, we're a version of a parish, we're just not canonically, we don't have a name canonically of parish, but what we are is a parish. To aptly describe a parish and who we are, we can call it a liturgizing body. That's why we exist. That's why God created the human person, to liturgize, for liturgy. In other words, the parish exists for the main purpose to worship, to praise, and to adore Almighty God, because God is the source of life, he is the source of love, he is the source of goodness. Making the effort, sacrificing some of one's time selflessly to come on a Friday evening and to come on Sundays is giving back to God a portion of your time. Time. I've said this in the past, and I'll say it again. Have you ever stepped back and really reflect on time? Time is precious, and it's a gift. And one day, as our liturgy says it, somewhere thereafter the Our Father, or just before the Our Father, someday you and I are going to have to stand before Almighty God, and he's going to expect from you and me an account on how you used the gifts, including time. With every liturgy, when the baptized faithful assemble, what's going on? The church, a whole bunch of things, yes. But the church is manifesting to the world, that the kingdom of God is here and the gates of heaven are open. And all are called to become a part of this family of God, the house of God, the body of Christ. When Adam and Eve sinned, yes, they were cast out of the garden. And for all the Old Testament, man is wandering, waiting to return to the garden. And every time the liturgy takes place, every time we are assembled, note the word assembled, we are brought together. Every time it happens, It's manifesting God's gardens open again to mankind, and all are invited. Our very gathering every Sunday and every Friday evening is an announcement. Metanoia. Metanoia, be converted, because the kingdom of God is at hand. What does it mean then when our sacred temples are closed most of the time throughout the week and there is no activity going on? If our banks are open 5 days a week, Wall Street is open 5 days a week, our hospitals are open 7 days a week, 24 hours, giving people back physical health, why are our churches closed when we are offering something far more important than material well-being and physical health? We are offering eternal life. That's what's going on in our churches. For what do we live? Why are we on this earth? There are 168 hours in the week. Our outreach has two liturgies that take the total sum of 168 hours. 3 hours a week. I'm terrible at math, but I think that might be 3%. Maybe I'm wrong. 3% out of one's entire week. Time is a gift. What shall I give to the Lord for it? All his benefits toward me? Theologically, there is something significant about Sunday and being assembled by Almighty God. Again, assembled, right? We're not a scattered bunch, like a puzzle that you open the box and you pour out the pieces and they're all over the place on the table, right? And it doesn't make any sense. But then you assemble the puzzle. You assemble all those pieces and then it gives you the image. That's what liturgy is. We are the assembled body of Christ, not a random, just thrown together. What's significant about Sunday and being assembled? It's the first day of the week. Sunday is the first day of the week. God said, let there be light. And then some thousands of years later, the light himself rose out of the darkness of death. And just as God commanded that the Jewish people gave the first fruits of their produce, of their lambs, their herds, their cereal offerings, the bread, the harvest they would raise, the fruits they would raise, 10%, the first 10%. So also in the Christian tradition, we give God the first hours of the week with liturgy. Attending faithfully every Sunday, we are fulfilling the words of the psalmist. What shall I give to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? Liturgy. Liturgy is not the sole work of the priest. Liturgy is the work of Christ and his body. The body is the church. Hence, we see within liturgy itself a whole assortment of ministries. All these ministries are about making this most important work of liturgy noble, worthy, and beautiful for God. The ministries of serving and singing and reading, and those who bake the korban, the holy bread that will become the Eucharist. And then out of liturgy flows what? Our socials. Socials are very important for a liturgizing community, a liturgizing assembly. Why? Because what we're doing here is to be taken out into the world Liturgy is what? It's divine love and divine communion. And we take this love, we take this communion, and we go out into a world that's divided and separated. We live this unity outside the church doors. The socials are icons of the communion we are experiencing here in this liturgy. What is happening at the altar? Thus, there are the important apostolates to make the socials possible. So maybe you're not serving, maybe you're not reading, maybe you're not singing, but then we need people who are dedicated to hospitality, who are dedicated to coordinating our socials, dedicated to bringing food and drinks to our socials, assisting with the cleanup at our socials. Whether serving at the altar or preparing food for the socials, we are practicing the words of the Apostle Peter. Quote, as generous distributors of God's manifold grace, put your gifts at the service of one another, each in the measure he has received. End of quote. And the work of liturgy does not end when we leave the sacred temple or have our socials in the hall. What happens in liturgy is to be brought, carried into the world. Why? Because the Lord gave that great commission in Matthew. Go. Go. And make disciples of all the nations. Jesus of Nazareth, God himself, gave a commandment. Think about this. Think about this. Government leaders can enact laws. Churchmen can enact laws. Institutions can pass laws and policies, but nobody but God himself can give a commandment. God gives commandments. And he says, go. The parish, you and I, fulfill the great commission when each of us hand over some of our time and talent selflessly. It's not enough just to pray that the world be a better place. It's not enough just to pray that the world get better and something change. No. The church is incarnational, meaning it's the spirit and the body working together to bring all people into the kingdom of God. You and I are the hands and the feet and the voice and the eyes of God in this world. You and I have an obligation to go out and invite all people into this kingdom. Because one day we will have to stand before Almighty God and give an account for how we use the gifts that God has given to us. People will encounter the kingdom when they encounter you. What does that mean? The outreach is dependent and it needs its members to help also with office work, computer work, faith formation, and coordinating our outreaches to those in need, to the destitute, to the homebound. That puts into concrete action what the psalmist says. What shall I give to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? It takes seriously the words of the Apostle Peter. Be generous distributors of God's manifold grace, putting your gifts at the service of one another, each in the measure is received. Harry Hopkins served his president and his country for an earthly kingdom. By baptism, you and I are called to serve God and his church selflessly.